800-387-0365.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
You've got Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan here with the Sons of Liberty. First off, if you would like to know who we are, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And find out who we are, what we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, letters from famous people who like us, and of course, a few who don't. Also available are General of God tidbits, as well as lots of links. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Please also feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. If you would like to download this radio program's podcast, they are available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time who we will be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Please contact us through sonsoflibertyradio.com. Again, if you'd like to get a hold of us, please call 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. We love to hear from you, so if you'd like to be a part of the Sons of Liberty today, please do give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. It's only an hour show, 1-866-233-0747. If you want to jump on the phone with us, we'd greatly appreciate it. You got the coast to coast from Texas to Minnesota. You have the ear of America. So, again, if you would like to be a part of that show, that number, again, is 1-866-233-0747. You know, one of the reoccurring things that we hear from the American people is hopelessness. And what I wanted to do is give you hope to the hopeless. And if we go back to 1776, I believe it was July 2nd. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jake. But when they ratified the Constitution of the United States, there was Mr. John Dickinson in the same room with Mr. John Adams. And I know that they both had the same goal and the same hope. They both wanted to receive the end of their faith, which is the salvation of their country, the liberation of their country. It was the Declaration of Independence, thank you, July 2nd, 1776. But before they ratified that, what they came down with was two different perspectives. I want to give you the perspective of a Quaker, and I want to give you a perspective of a very godly Christian individual named John Adams. So I'm going to give you the hopeless prognostication that John Dickinson gave in the room with all of our signers, our forefathers, and I want you to see the difference between hope and hopelessness. First, the hopelessness. Mr. Dickinson says, "Gentlemen, the consequences involved in the motion now lying before us are of such magnitude that I tremble at the oppressive honor of sharing in its determination. My conduct this day, I expect, will give the finishing blow to my once great and now much diminished popularity. Yet I had rather forfeit popularity forever than vote away the blood and happiness of my countrymen. Independence will not strengthen us by one man, nor by the least supply, but it may expose our soldiers to additional cruelties and outrage the full fury of British wrath that it will be unleashed Indians will be loosed on the frontier. Negroes will rise up to slaughter us, said Mr. John Dickinson. New York, they will be destroyed by their own admission. The advocates of separation, independence America, say foreign assistance will be necessary, referring to John Adams. At what cost, said Mr. Dickinson, let us imagine a war without victors and the guns fall silent. Many will have bled and sacrificed only to have exchanged the light yoke of Great Britain. In other words, he was saying he preferred the light yoke of Britain rather than fight for the liberty and the independence that John Adams was advocating. He goes on, for the heavy dominion of an avian power, some have argued that America would become one great commonwealth, but what is to keep 13 unwieldy colonies from splitting asunder? He said, I have a strong impression in my mind that this will take place. No, gentlemen, to escape the protection of Great Britain rather than God by declaring independence unprepared as we are would be to brave the storm in a skiff made of paper. That was the hopeless and dim prognostication. Now here comes the man of God, the colossus for independence. Listen to me carefully, America. His name was John Adams. He was the second president of the United States of America. He said, objects of the most stupendous magnitude, measures will affect the lives of millions born and unborn. Who was he thinking about? Yep. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of his future posterity. He said, they are now before us. We must expect a great expense of blood to obtain them. In other words, he knew freedom would not be free. He goes on, but we must always remember that a free constitution of civil government cannot be purchased at too dear a rate, as there is nothing on this side of Jerusalem of greater importance to mankind. My worthy colleague, speaking of John Dickinson, the hopeless one, from Pennsylvania, has spoken with great ingenuity and eloquence. He has given you a dim and a grim prognostication of our natural future, but where he foresees apocalypse, he said, I see hope. I see a new nation ready to take its place in the world, not an empire, but a republic, and a republic of laws, not men. Gentlemen, speaking to our forefathers, we are in the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world. How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves and their children. Speaking of you, America, John Adams goes on, I'm not without apprehensions, gentlemen, but the end we have in sight is worth more than all the means. I believe, sirs, that the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready to stake upon it. He said, while I live, let me have a country. John Adams ends with a free country. The colossus for independence, the man that stood while others sat down, stood up as a pillar for not only his God, but for his country and his future posterity, which just happens to be me and you. Folks, you have the Sons of Liberty with Bradley and Jake. If you'd like to be a part of the show, please do give us a call, 1-866-233-0747. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number is 1-866-233-0747. We'll be right back. Hello, my name is Bradley Dean. I am the host of the Sons of Liberty radio broadcast and founder of You Can Run But You Cannot Hide International. For the past 12 years, we have been educating and empowering our posterity. We hope as you are moved by this message, you will keep in mind this ministry can only continue with people such as yourselves. One of our friends and partners, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources, would like to make you a special offer to encourage you to partner with us.
This work cannot continue without your support, which is why I'm willing to offer a institutional silver dollar coin from Midas Resources to every person who donates $100 or more. Call 866-233-0747. You can run international.com. The Sons of Liberty Radio.com has made a difference in hundreds of thousands of lives. Make your donation of $100 or more and receive your own silver dollar coin. Our monetary system is in trouble. Gold is a great way to diversify your investments. Call 866-233-0747. 866-233-0747.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Welcome back to the Sons of Liberty, folks. You got Bradley and Jake. I wanted to lift your spirits right off the bat because, again, I know that 24/7 you are being inundated with nothing but oppression and propaganda through the mainstream media. Interestingly enough, we were just talking about the difference between hopelessness and hope, or hope and hopelessness, either way. And I was talking about what took place in Congress in 1776, July 2. Military time, that was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was very nice.
And with that, I wanted to show you the difference in hearts and mindsets between John Dickinson and John Adams. One that had a dim prognostication and one that had a hopeful prognostication. And speaking of John Adams, he was also the second president of the United States. He said rights come from God, not the state. He said, you have rights to all earthly governments, rights that cannot be repealed or restrained by human laws.
That's right.
Rights derived from the great legislator of the universe. How awesome is that?
That's a perfect.
And who would know better than the one that penned who we are as a country, as one of our forefathers, as one who stood as a pillar to establish what we have today. And look at what they were going through at the time, folks. They were resisting a tyrant named King George, who, by the way, professed to be a Christian.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if you read the Declaration of Independence, you can see the abuses that that Christian, professed hypocritical Christian, brought down upon the good people of the colonies here in America.
Yep.
And they resisted him to the point where we have a Declaration of Independence, a Bill of Rights, and a Constitution.
Yep.
So in saying that, again, I just wanted to lift your spirits because over the last week, our theme has been going back to the old paths. And what a better path to go to than the one I just went to from the very inception of our country. And I'm just happy to bring it forth.
You know, it reminds me, we're sitting today with one of the Band of Brothers from the HBO series, Mr. Herb Surth. And he was in the Battle of the Bulge, and he was wounded in war and had to come up. But anyway, how the stories that he was telling us and our children those golden, golden, golden nuggets. That's exactly what they are. They instill, and there's such an anointing when he talks, too. So to go back to these old paths and reiterate these things that our founders knew and gave to us as treasures, as heirlooms to pass on from generation to generation so we could stay in the posterity. And it's a sense of mind as well. When Herb's talking today about World War II, I'm switching gears again back to the Band of Brothers, Mr. Herb Sirth, as he's talking about World War II and the sacrifice. And he brought up the point that there was one boy that jumped out of the plane on his 18th birthday on D-Day. And some of these men at 18 years old, they had their life to look forward. They just became an adult, according to the number 18. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice, he said, their entire life, their entire future, so that we could have what we have right now. It makes me take more serious note to what we're talking about even on the radio right now.
You can't take the blood lightly. I mean, he's talking about sacrifice. We took our kids on a field trip today, Jake's talking about Herb Sirth, who is a part of the Band of Brothers, the HBO series, The Band of Brothers. And he invited us to his home, so we brought about, 10, 15 of us went.
When you invite one of us.
Yeah, so he's talking to the kids. No, really, he's talking to us. And we're just honored to be a part of it. We've been friends with him for about 10 years now, and he's an awesome guy. But he tells the story about how he got a shell-shocked by a German because a guy lit a cigarette on top of a tank. Mm-hmm. And because the Germans seen that light, they sent a missile over, killed four guys, blew both of his legs off. And he said the only thing he could see was his two femurs sticking out. And at that time, Jake, I was paying attention to my little boys, and I was looking at the kids, and they were just glued. Mm-hmm. Because it's important for people to understand the price paid for their liberties, because if they don't understand the price paid, then they have nothing to fight for. Mm-hmm. They have no reason to continuously magnify what we just got done talking about, what our forefathers magnified.
Yep. Yep.
And by the way, the sacrifice given by our veterans are only there to reinforce what our forefathers established in the first
place.
That's
right, they're the ones who started
it. So I praise God for every one of you out there that have served our country. God bless you, and you're the reason we do what we do.
Yep, and showing people the price. You're going to live for two people in your life. You're going to either live for yourself or live for your neighbor. What's the golden rule? I've got a little poster down in my basement that says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. When you see the sacrifice, when I hear Herb talking about those heroes, I forget about my life and I say, my gosh, I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
I sure as heck better make sure that I uphold what they died for. I lost my life there when I hear the price.
Well, when you listen to his trials and tribulations and the battles that he's gone through, it minimizes your problems to the max. It's like, I have no problems at all.
Yep.
I'm gonna stand up and I'm going to fight for what this guy has seen his buddies die for.
And then you even hear about the stories. I mean, those were the heroes. That was the greatest generation when their children heard those stories.
Yep.
Or even when a 16-year-old, my grandfather wasn't old enough to go to World War II, wanted to go. He asked his dad to sign him in. He was only 16. His dad said, I can't do that. You wait till you're 18. So he went to Korea War. But the fact that my grandfather was so wanting to go fight because he saw the heroes before him fighting for that which is right and willing to sacrifice for it, he said, I want to go. I don't care if I'm not 18. I may be 16, but I can sacrifice just like them. That's the kind of example that's laid before posterity that changes nations.
And a different mentality, too, because in the 40s, kids would commit suicide if they were rejected from serving their country.
Right.
Now, today, you're seeing, not all, but you're seeing people commit suicide because they have to serve their country. And again, what's withheld from their eyes? The great pearl, the great gift that was given unto them,
purpose.
Salvation through Jesus Christ, and what the veterans gave unto them, something called liberty, and we're to fight for the maintaining of that liberty and the freedoms that have been given to us. And the Liberty Bell tells us that in Leviticus 25:10. It says it right on the side of the Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. How do we do that? We point the finger back at the crosses over the head of those that sacrificed their all for me and you.
And there's not an immoral thought in your mind as you're sitting and listening to one of these World War II vets or a Korean War vet. It doesn't matter. Somebody who sacrificed for liberty, laid their life on the altar for liberty, or saw their friends do the same thing. There's not an immoral thought in your mind. You're only thinking of what you can do that's good.
To honor
what
them.
You can do that's right. That's right. That puts the right perspective into young people. Samuel Adams, now we're talking about this same opportunity was given to a generation in 1776 of men who laid their life on the altar, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, as they said. Samuel Adams said, shame on the men who can court exemption from present trouble and expense. There's always sacrifice involved. Listen, you're not going to get anything in life that is good without a sacrifice. I'm reading through the book of Proverbs right now, and all it's talking about is, Thomas Jefferson brought up a quote, and he said that basically diligence is the mother of good luck. In other words, nothing good just happens. There's always a sacrifice for it. And here at this particular time, he said, Samuel Adams, shame on the men who can court exemption from present trouble and expense at the price of their own posterity's liberty. We're not living this life for ourselves. We're living this life for future generations. We are only worth what we lay down for others. And it reminds me of the fact that as mankind, we must respond to our duty or we suffer the consequences of an immoral minority rule. And one of the things that I got recently from a gentleman, it was an email, and he was asking questions. And this is just a PowerPoint of questions. And folks, there's too many to even read, but I'm going to pick out a couple of them. If any president had criticized a state law that he admitted he had never read, would you think that he is a just or ignorant hothead? What would you think of a man who insults a law that he doesn't even read?
It sounds like someone that would be desecrating the memories of our forefathers and our
sacrifices.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Now again, because understand, the only reason there is an office of president is because men have laid down a sacrifice for that office. Men have laid down a sacrifice for the form of government that we have right now. That government to instill your liberty. If any president had joined the country of Mexico and sued a state in the United States to force that state to continue to allow illegal immigration, would you question his patriotism and wonder whose side he's on?
That would be a desecration of the memories of our veterans who fought, bled, and died to establish the Constitution that we have today.
If any president had pronounced the Marine Corps as if it were the Marine Corps, literally said that, would you think him not wise? If any other president had put 87,000 workers out of work by arbitrarily placing a moratorium on offshore drilling on companies that have one of the best safety records of the industry because one foreign company had an accident, would you have agreed with what he did? Now, these are just natural analogies of what immorality gone too long allows, and it's a desecration of that liberty.
Let me ask you the question with what you're asking right now, because I didn't know you were going here. I knew you were talking about it earlier a little bit, but the point is America, what would you do if someone that serves we the people actually burnt a flag from the office that they've been put into and entrusted by the American people?
Yep.
You would say they're out of there without question. Well, what's the difference between that and the fruit of the man that's doing the exact same thing anyways?
Yep.
And I'm talking about in generalities from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yes.
I'm talking about judges. I'm talking about elected officials. I'm talking about representatives. I'm talking about mayors. I'm talking about senators. I'm talking about congressmen. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the president. I'm talking about the vice president. I don't care. If they're going to desecrate who we are as a people, then you know what? It's time to say goodbye.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Because it is a crime to the blood. Now, this is what's important that's missing so many times. Oh, well, he's just a stupid Democrat. No, he's a man who swore an oath to uphold an office, and he's desecrating the blood that gave him that position in that office. That's what he's doing. It's not a simple mistake. It's not a sincere mistake. They're called crimes against that blood, that sacrifice that you and I praise every day when we get up in the morning and we live in liberated country like America.
Woe to those who decree unjust statutes and to those who continually record unjust decisions to deprive the needy of justice and to rob the poor of my people of their rights. That just happens to be the Bible in Isaiah 10:12. Folks, again, you got Bradley and Jake. We'll be right back after this break.
I'll pay you to read this book. The truth is, this book is so essential to surviving in this insane economy, I'll give you an early $1,900 silver dollar free just for ordering this book. Hi, I'm Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metals investing firms. So why would Midas give you a free collectible silver dollar for ordering this book? Because you need to know the truth about surviving in this economy. With trillions of your tax dollars being handed out like bailout candy, you know this will impact your wallet today, tomorrow, and at retirement. This book explains it all. In fact, Congressman Ron Paul said this book is what every American needs to know. So while others are trying to survive this economic meltdown, learn how to flourish. Order your book right now, and Midas Resources will send you an early 1900s collectible silver dollar free. Call 877-877-4201. 877-877-4201. That's 877-877-4201.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. Zeo King Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from x-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. Zeo King flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. Zeo King Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your Zeo King Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com, that's ZeoKing.com, for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning. Eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion. Fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Check this out, folks. We're talking about sacrifice. We're talking about those that are desecrating sacrifice.
Yep.
And let me take it to a positive again. Before a soldier can even guard at the tomb of the unknown soldier, he must go through testing for something that is called the tomb guard badge. This is basically a license to be able to guard the tomb. Not everybody can do it just because they want to. Their first test is how well they prepared their uniform, but calling it just an inspection would be a dramatic understatement. Their uniforms, shoes, medals, and even the spacing of these have to be perfect. They're medals. The staff sergeant will check more than 50 different aspects of their uniform before they can stand and honor the tomb of the unknown soldier. If a belt loop or keeper, as they call it, is off by even a 64th of an inch, that is too much, and they have to receive what is called a gig. They got to fix the problem. Gig is the word that they use for mistakes on their uniform, and any measurement that is off, piece of lint, lint on their uniform, button that is crooked, or metal that is not shiny, will cost them. They even have to go so far as to burn off frayed ends of clothing off their uniforms with a lighter before they can actually guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. Look at the honor that's expected. Yeah. Look at the honor and the love. It's a duty of love.
That's right.
It's an exemplification mm-hmm. of their love to stand there and honor hundreds of thousands of men that have died yeah. in the battlefield.
So George Washington said, I consider it duty.
That's right. To John Adams.
Yep. He didn't retire and go back to public life. As an older gentleman, he went out and he led the armies because it was his duty.
One army private had creases in his uniform. They called them railroad tracks. And that was totally unacceptable. The same army private spent 8 hours alone just polishing his shoes for the test before he could guard the tomb of the unknown soldiers. When they actually guard the tomb, they are tested on 121 different aspects of the task. They are tested on their timing, how they hold their weapon, their posture, and complacency is never rewarded at the tomb of the unknown. And it's also interesting, what's more important, before they go out and 303 million people see how they're representing those that died for the liberties and freedoms that we have, when kids go up, they're screwing around, they're laughing, they're joking around, not taking anything serious. But when they get to the tomb of the unknown soldier and they see the veterans that are 50, 60, 70, and 80 years old standing there saluting the tomb of the unknown, and the respect that's shown to the tomb of the unknown, and the tears running down the eyes of the veterans, it's amazing how fast that will chasten a kid's heart and get it right. Those kids will leave Arlington Cemetery literally in 15 minutes, completely converted outside of a rebel to an American patriot. Just that quick. It'll take 15 minutes. That's it. Folks, I'd like to lay at your feet something that I've desired to do for a long time. If you would like to be a part of bringing rebels, hardheads, fatherless, prisoners, whatever the case might be, I would like to gather 15, 25 of them from each state and bring them to Arlington Cemetery and literally preach to them for 15 minutes after they see the awful price of redemption. Because that's what's going to get rid of the problems that we have in this country. That's going to put that love in their heart to stand up and fight for the country that we have. The one that we have now, folks, not the one that a lot of people want to try to put on you. Mm-hmm. Not that one.
That's right.
That one's not called the light of the world. This one is. And if we can get back to that and we can get to these kids that are sitting in prison houses, that are sitting in dark places, let them see the light, because that's the power that's sure to transform them. And by the way, his name is Jesus Christ. Because those crosses over the top of the boys' heads are Christian crosses, folks. And if that offends somebody, so be it.
That's where liberty comes from.
And we could also gather a fundraiser to raise money for airplane tickets to send those people mm-hmm. that don't like those crosses and don't like our flag and don't like the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's probably a better place for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Somebody will take them.
We can give them an airplane ticket, a one-way ticket to Russia, where they belong.
There we go.
Yeah.
Russia, maybe Middle East or something like that. Folks, if you like it so well, and I want to – I think the best way to exemplify this, again, is to show you when folks – because we're calling to action here. And so what we do is we show where there's possible darkness so that we can take action. This is the blood. If a president had bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia, is that why our men died? Is that why our troops died? So our president could go bow to the king of Saudi Arabia?
That's pretty extreme.
Is that normal?
No, that's pretty extreme,
that's
dude.
That's taking that blood and saying, well, I'm going to go bow to another king with it.
Yeah, American president doesn't do that.
How about a president, because of the sacrifice of our boys, and he honors and respects this great nation so much that he fills his cabinet with a circle of advisors of people who can't seem to keep current on their income taxes, but yet they require it of every single one of you, and they'll throw you in jail if you don't.
Yeah, but what happens is our veterans come home, and then their families actually have to do fundraisers to raise money that they were supposed to receive from the federal government in the first place.
That's right.
Because that's why we, the people, pay taxes.
Is that a good use of the redemption you've received, America?
That's a desecration.
How about if a president had stated that there was 57 states in the United States?
By the way, Jake, that's pretty stinking extreme.
That is pretty extreme.
And it's also extreme.
Extremely stupid.
It's also extreme for a president to advocate more money from the taxpayers to abort more babies.
To kill babies.
That's extreme.
To kill a person, a human being who has the right of life, liberty, and property that veterans have died for. We turn around, force you to give the government money. This is what a president seeks to do right now. Force you to give him money so he can go kill other babies that have the same rights you and I do. Hey, let me just, first of all.
Which, by the way, is aimed at the Hispanics and the black population.
The weak populations. he would do that in a heartbeat. And these type of people would do that in a heartbeat to the middle class, but they know they can't get away with it. So what do? They start with the most innocent, defenseless form of life.
Mm-hmm.
Still life, folks. No different than your life, no different than my life.
That's pretty extreme.
That's very extreme. And you know, and furthermore, not only is it extreme, but it's using the blood and the redemption that we've received as Americans to do it. If any other president, let's just say that a president decided, you know, I'm going to get in the jet and burn 9,000 gallons of fuel to go plant a single tree on Earth Day. Because we love Earth Day. Mm-hmm. We love trees. Forget about the children that are getting butchered.
Speaking of sacrifice, in Washington, D.C., you have the Vietnam Wall.
Yep.
And about 25 to 50 yards away, you have these environmentalist whack jobs mm-hmm. that have fences around trees, protecting the trees, stating on the around the trees, they have little signs
yep.
that you can get fined
That's
if
right.
you harm this tree. But yet, 25 to 50 yards away are 50,000, 58,000 boys yep. and women that sacrifice themselves to uphold the Constitution of the United States.
That's, right.
That's pretty extreme.
And speaking in that particular war where Congress failed our boys, but yet they're so quick to pass a statute that will fine you for stepping on. That's extreme.
And you know what
That's
else
extreme.
Is extreme? Is everybody
I guess trees
else's,
are more important than
everybody
people.
Everybody else's kids can go to war.
Oh,
Jake,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But back in
That's
the 60s,
right.
when the numbers of the sons and daughters that came up with those that were sitting and advocating Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden when the kids' numbers came up, it was time to stop the war because
right.
now it's hitting too close to home. That's pretty extreme.
That's right. That's pretty extreme.
And so, I'm not playing. That's extreme.
Poor, you know, the poor
that's,
folks,
that's
they
a
can
sick
go.
Mentality.
The middle class, they can go. Maybe the minorities, they can go to war, but not our children, because our children were destined to rule because we are God.
Hun, how unlike our forefathers. If a war was called up, they went first.
There. They put their riches, their wealth, and their sacred honor on the altar.
Yes, they
if
did.
Any other of our presidents had created the position, let's just say, did our veterans die so that a president could create 32 czars? That report to him directly.
Illegal czars, unconstitutional czars.
This is why they're unconstitutional, because where they get their authority. Sure, the Senate has to approve them. So
why are they
in.
Bypassing Congress, and why are they bypassing we, the people, to put them in positions in the first
a
place?
A direct representation of one body of government called the executive branch. Why are they doing that, though? Because they know the people wouldn't tolerate and wouldn't swallow the garbage that they're pushing.
Yes.
So they got the private bat phones between them and the president, and they continue doing what they're doing. Is that why our veterans died?
That's pretty extreme.
Very
and that
extreme.
Is desecrating the veterans of our...
That's right.
The memorial of our veterans.
You and I probably wouldn't care what in the world this administration's doing, so long as they were just our neighbor or they were just some insignificant person running a business in our community. Now, I'm not saying that we wouldn't be all together, but the point is the fact that they are in power right now, that power which was bought by the blood of our veterans.
Yes.
If somebody wants to be an idiot and be stupid and deal with it in their own household, you know what?
Do it with somebody else's blood.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. No blood bought that. Okay, so you have life, liberty, property. If you forfeit that on your own, we're not going to be talking about, but we are talking about something right now that's using the blood of those veterans.
Yep.
That have bled and died for us to do these sort of things. So let me give you lastly, just, and I could talk about this all day. If any president had ordered the firing of a CEO of a major corporation, even though he had no constitutional authority to do so,
mm-hmm.
would we have approved? Is that why our veterans died, so that our president can go
That's
and
pretty
inflict
extreme.
Private enterprise?
You know what's more extreme than that? Is the American people allow it.
That's exactly right.
That's more extreme.
And the reason why they allow it, I would just hope, as I'm sitting on the couch today, again, listening to this World War II veteran talk about the sacrifice, I am losing my life right there as I'm just listening to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's straightening my stick. It's reproving me. It's saying I need to do more. The reason people don't understand is because they think, just like we talked about before, oh, he's just some guy in some party that's misled and done.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, what can anybody do about it?
He knows exactly what he's doing. He's doing it methodically. He's doing it institutionally. And he's doing it at the expense of the blood that's been sacrificed for our nation.
That's pretty extreme.
That's very extreme. And what Sam Adams said of folks like that, folks like maybe some of you, and I hope this is pushing your apathy buttons to get your butts out of the couch, shame on the man who can court exemption from present trouble and expense. Somebody might not like what I say about it at the price of their own posterity's liberty.
As you're being assaulted on a 24/7 basis.
Worrying about our feelings?
You got to be kidding me. You got Bradley and Jake. We're going to come right back. You got one more segment. you'd like to be a part of that show today called Sons of Liberty, it's 1-866-233-0747. We'll be right back, and I'm going to put your feet down on the rock before we say goodbye today.
If you'd like to know who we are, go to sonsoflibertyradio.com and find out who we are, what it is we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, letters from famous people who like us, and of course a few who don't. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Also, feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Church Leadership Times, which is every Thursday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. If you'd like to download this radio program's podcast, they are also available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time who we'll be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Contact us through sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to get a hold of us, call 1-866-233-0747.
Where can you find a super strength potassium iodide supplement? Right here at thyroidki.com. With global radiation levels at record highs, is your thyroid safe from radioactive iodine poisoning? Potassium iodide, the key ingredient in Thyroid KI, is proven to block radioactive iodine from damaging your thyroid. Thyroid damage is permanent and can lead to thyroid cancer. Unlike other potassium iodide products, Thyroid KI is formulated in convenient 32.5 milligram tablets and is independently tested for purity with a 100% money-back guarantee. With limited stock selling fast, act now. Prepare yourself and protect your family. Use coupon code THYROID for a 10% discount. Visit ThyroidKI.com. That's Thyroid, the letter K, the letter I.com. ThyroidKI.com. Or call 855-599-9444. 855-599-9444. Again, that's 855-599-9444.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now, it's here now. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter in backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This summer sale is going on now through June 25th. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
Welcome again to the Sons of Liberty, folks. You got Bradley and Jake. Yesterday we were talking about the grievances. We were talking about the 4th of July, Independence Day, and why we separated, and most people thought it was taxation without representation. Then we started to talk about the abuse of military powers, judicial powers, stirring up domestic insurrection, which King George was actually committing himself, military power above civilian power, again, taxation without representation. Then we started to talk about political instability. For example, the French Revolution, over 10 years after American Revolution, are into their 15th Constitution. You, America, are still into your first, 235 years later. Brazil, 7 constitutions since 1822. Poland, 6 constitutions since 1921. Afghanistan, 5th constitution since 1923. Russians, 4th constitution since 1918. And America has the longest standing constitution in the history of mankind. Now, what were the sources from the founding era? This is what's important for you to hear.
This is why
there's nothing stable but heaven in the Constitution. 15,000 writings analyzed, 3,154 quotations and sources. The Bible is to be found most quoted by our founders. And 34% of documented quotes were all from the Bible.
Now, there's your stability.
Andrew Jackson rightly said that the Bible
is the rock,
the rock
our republic rests upon
which our republic rests. He's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
the story of Andrew Jackson goes as follows. There was a preacher that got up in his face and told him to get right before God, because if he didn't, he was going to end up in hell.
You mean a preacher confronted the president of the United States?
Yep, in the little church, you know, dykes sitting around him or saying, oh, they were rebuking him.
Yeah,
why?
That's not
how
protocol.
How dare you do that? How dare you to warn men to flee from the wrath to come?
You don't rebuke the
president. President got saved because of that individual, and he acknowledged who gave him what he was in control of. Yep. And he also read the Bible, I believe, 2 times before he died. But he was a saved individual because of a faithful preacher that pointed his finger at him and said, Andrew Jackson, you are the man that needs to repent before God.
You know, I'm reminded
he didn't beat around the bush.
I'm reminded of George Washington. After he took his oath of office, he kissed the Bible. He swore his oath on the Bible. He said, so help me God. He marched with himself and all of Congress to church to be preached at by a preacher as an act of Congress. They knew where to go to. They knew where to get held accountable to. They knew that the God of heaven was the one who empowered them to be in the position that they are. But, boy, I'll tell you what, to reprove a president, that's outside of protocol.
No,
that's uncalled for.
This is a monarchy.
I mean, this is protocol.
He's a despot.
Protocol's important.
He's the king.
That's
you
right.
can't do that.
No.
And that's un-American.
That's right. Oh, very un-American.
Speaking of George Washington and Alexander Hamilton,
rebels.
They established separation of powers, which is found in Jeremiah 17:9. They established immigration laws, which is found in Leviticus 19:34. They established the fact that the president must be natural born. They found that in Deuteronomy 17:15. Wow. Witness and capital punishment came from Deuteronomy 17:6. Three branches of government. I mean, if an apple tree keeps giving forth apples, we have to acknowledge the fact that it's an apple tree, right?
Yeah, we don't want to
because
cut it down.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
We're talking about the fruit of Scripture here.
Yeah.
I go on. Three branches of government is found in Isaiah 33:22. Tax exemptions for churches is found in Ezra 7:24, because churches are non-taxable. Republicanism came from Exodus 18:21. And might I incite Mr. John Adams again when he stated, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. John goes on, now will I avow and that I then believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity, the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence, were as eternal and as immutable as the existence and attributes of God. But there might be some out there that say, no, that's just not how things go. Well, let me tell you what the U.S. Congress said. Had the people during the Revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, that revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. At the time of the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, but not any one denomination. Mm. You know, I asked some folks today, I said, so how many foreign gods do you have on your Christian broadcasts on Sundays? And they said, we don't have any. Isn't that interesting? But everybody's running from the foreigners today. They're afraid of who might be trying to get their way in this country. Folks, they're 200 to 1. What are you running from? In 1892, the Supreme Court extensively reviewed American history after citing more than 60 historical precedents. There is no dissonance in the declarations. There is a universal language pervading through them all, said the Supreme Court, having one meaning. They affirm and reaffirm that this is a religious people. This is a religious nation. They ended the quote with, this is a Christian nation.
That's what religion is.
And might I go to Ben Franklin really quick? The least religious signer.
That pagan,
him and Tomboy.
Yeah, the two pagans.
Tommy Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Franklin, a governor of Pennsylvania, issued statewide prayer proclamations.
I thought he was a pagan.
He is.
I thought he didn't like the Lord.
Well, that's what the revisionists said, Jake.
Oh, those revisionists, I paid a lot of money to learn from those revisionists. They can't be wrong.
You know, the revisionists are going to have a good time until they stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, huh? Because God is not a revisionist. Ben Franklin recommended Christianity in the public schools. Matter of fact, in 1792, Congress published Bibles.
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
But there's a separation of church and state, Brad.
Yeah. Said the ACLU, Roger Baldwin, who said that the end of the ACLU is communism found in Article 52 of the USSR Constitution.
What's so bad about communism, Brad?
Benjamin also called for the establishment of chaplains in daily prayer at the Constitutional Convention. And by the way, they still preside to this day.
You know, I've heard that there's preachers that pray in the chambers of, like, the representatives and the legislature, and they pray in Jesus' name.
See, you know what's interesting about this? This gets rid of all debate.
It's gone.
Because I'm giving you historical precedent. I'm pointing my finger at who we are, America.
Yeah.
There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to debate.
Nope.
That's why we can't get a lot of these organizations on the radio with us, folks, because they know there's nothing to debate when you know what it says in the Bill of Rights. Like, for example, separation of church and state, as you brought
it up.
In
the First Amendment,
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Did you hear that, America? That bars the government from doing what they're doing to you today. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. It's like a bunch of liberals arguing with a cop for getting a speeding ticket. I wasn't speeding, sir. You can't give me that ticket. I know you're pointing the finger at the law. I know I violated that, but you know what? Things are changing.
That's right. We need a different law. That law is obviously wrong.
I don't want to have to pay for that. Come on, officer. Is there something we can work out? Some kind of an arrangement, perhaps?
True.
Is there some way we can debate the pith and marrow out of the law that you're pointing to right now?
Officer,
can we just ignore the stop signs? Can we ignore the speed limit signs? Can we just get rid of that word no? Because we don't get it.
Officer, I was born with a complexity that makes me resist the word no, and so I think I need some meds for this.
Well, maybe we should get you to some sort of psychiatric counselor today who can, you know, kind of work things out for you. Just leave out the name Christ, though.
Yes.
Got to take away the cross.
That's expensive, though. Can you make all my neighbors pay for it? Because I don't have any money either.
Entitlements. You know what? That's a new one. That might help me and my buddies out a little longer.
Yeah, well,
here.
I'll do whatever you want.
Okay.
I just can't stand the word no.
You know what? Why
don't
you
tell
do
me
this?
I can't do something.
Why don't I do this? I got a buddy that kind of operates the bureaucracy in the state.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you give him a call and see if he can't work something out for you?
Okay, I'll call him.
Is that a good cop or is that a bad cop?
It's obviously a bad cop, tearing away liberties of those that obey the law.
Thomas Jefferson. You know, that great deist?
Oh, yes.
A deist, folks, is God is there, but he doesn't interfere with the affairs of man.
Of course.
Thomas Jefferson used to sign his name within the year of our Lord Christ, 1804.
Oh, so he was acknowledging that Christ was his Lord.
In government.
Oh, boy.
Wait a second. Isn't that the guy that said there was lines between church and state? Yes, it is. Barring the government from interfering into religious affairs.
Did you know that word, that phrase, lines between church and state, started in the Reformation when they were separating secular powers from taking over the church?
Jake, but I can't find that. That works for the people, folks.
Yes.
That liberates you.
Yes.
Okay, that doesn't encroach upon your liberties. Isn't it interesting, Jake, that I can't find that in the Bill of Rights? I can't find that in the articles.
Well, that's the new Bill
of Rights
for writing in
or any founding document in the United States, but people are still arguing it. And then when you ask them where they can reference that from, they can't tell you other than the fact that
it's there somewhere.
The Americans separated for church and state. They're a bunch of fish that don't want to live in the water anymore.
Yes, the age.
Wait, we got to get a religion. We're atheists.
I can't
stand
the
water. We're
discriminating.
Atheists, and we don't believe in. Oh, wait a second. Believe is right there, brother. That is your faith. You are talking about your religion, dog.
Ah, so there
is
religion.
Folks, you got Bradley and Jake. It was a quick hour. We gave you the opportunity. Sorry we couldn't get to all the calls, but when me and Jake got something to say, it's time to go. Hey, hey.
Hey.